Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
You're listening to HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill. I'm Tani Alvarez from Verrill, and today our guest is Lindsay Skilling, CEO for Giffords Ice Cream. Welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm super excited to have you for a number of reasons. One, you know I'm a massive ice cream fan. Actually, Verrill's whole labor and employment department are massive ice cream fans.
Well, thank you.
We find ourselves very regularly going out in the middle of the day and coming back with ice cream, and we like to call it our party for no reason, which is always fun and enjoyable, and I know our staff appreciates it. So first, for people who don't know, CEO of Giffords?
Yes.
And Giffords Ice Cream does what?
Yes, we manufacture ice cream right in Skowhegan, Maine. That's where we make all of our ice cream, and we sell ice cream to different scoop shops and colleges and universities, and we also are sold at Hannaford and Shaw's and Market Baskets of the world and Independence. So.
Yeah. And Giffords has a fairly long-standing history in Maine, doesn't it?
Yes, we do. We date back to the late 1800s. My grandfather was born in Maine, and he went to UConn and met my grandmother for college and worked on my great-great-grandfather's farm and whatnot. So I guess you could say that we have milk, the dairy business in our blood, in our veins, as well as ice cream from a young age. And then my grandparents owned a farm actually in Connecticut for about 17 years. And then they moved back to Maine with their family. They bought a farm in the early 70s in Farmington and ran that, and then acquired another dairy in Skowhegan, Maine in 1974. And that's where our manufacturing plant is today and our home offices.
On that same piece of property?
Yeah, yep, the same. If you came to our factory, you would see we've had many small and larger additions to it over the years. We've just made it work. But that's my father and uncle, actually. They're considered the fourth generation, and they, with my grandparents, decided to sell the milk portion, the dairy portion of our business in 83 to Oakhurst Dairy. And that's where we still continue to this day get our milk and cream from, Oakhurst Dairy. So right in Maine, supporting local farms. So
perfect. Yeah. So Giffords is no longer in the dairy business, but purely in the ice cream business.
Correct. Yes. As of 1983. Yep.
And you mentioned that your father and your uncle are the fourth generation. So
I would be the fifth generation. And everyone asks, so what about the sixth generation? My brother has two kids and I have two kids, but they're very young. Mine are 6 and 4, and my nephew is 10. So They're still babies. Maybe one day.
Are they consumers, though, is the question.
Oh, yes. They give us plenty of feedback. Plenty of feedback, yes.
I'm sure not all of it is requested as well.
Right, exactly. They have an opinion for everything.
That is great. So, Lindsay, let's discuss a little bit your path to the CEO of the company. I think a lot of people think, well, it's in her blood and it's a family business, so it just seems natural to be the CEO. But you and I have talked in the past, and that's not how Giffords works.
No, that's definitely not how Giffords works. In fact, my parents, John and Kathy, they encouraged us children, my brother JC and my sister Samantha, to go in another direction, to try something new. And fortunately, we all did try different things, you know, throughout the course of our, you know, high school and college days. And then we all came back to the business. So we're all working in the business. However, my father, John, and my uncle, Roger, they said that, you know, just because you have the last name Gifford, that gets your foot in the door. That gives you the opportunity for an interview. that doesn't mean anything. You know, you make of it what you will from there. You have to earn your way. You know, some people think about family businesses, oh, it must be nice. You know, you're handed over this, you know, magic key or something. That is not how it works at all. You have to work your way to it. You know, and I'm sure we'll talk about succession planning and transition. It's not just something that's handed. It's a purchase. So I worked from the ground up, if you will. You know, I was what they used to call a kind of a Girl Friday, an errand girl. I would, you know, do errand runs. I would make special deliveries of ice cream to customers if needed. I would open the mail, work alongside, you know, our controller and secretaries at the time.
So this is really kind of that story of from the mailroom to the CEO.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. You know, growing up, you couldn't escape the family business. My father and uncle, when they sold the dairy portion of the business, they needed to focus and grow the premium ice cream from the ground up. So that's what they did. But that took working, you know, 7 days a week, all hours on end to do what it took to succeed for the entire family. And so with that being said, us kids were around the business with our cousins all the time, with, you know, co-workers' children, just, you know, sitting in the office and playing while our parents worked. That's just what needed to happen. So we were involved in the business from, you know, a very young age. My mother ran our Skowhegan ice cream stand and our mini golf course in Skowhegan. So she would put us to work when we were there. You know, there was no babysitter at that time. We would have to go to work and help clean up the mini golf course or whatever needed to be done, pick up napkins off the ground, empty trash cans. So from a young age, I was always involved. All of us kids were. And I guess I took a special interest, if you will, to the office end of the business. So summers in high school, I would work alongside our controller, again, doing whatever. I would help enter orders, ice cream orders for customers. I would do help with accounts payable, accounts receivable, again, whatever it took and needed to be done. I remember one summer it was completely gutting out a big storage area that's now our conference room to get it ready to be a conference room. So again, whatever it takes.
I can only imagine sitting there and seeing the space and imagining what it looked like back then and like, oh, well, it's looking so much better now.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I remember when.
Yeah, exactly. And then I went to, after graduating high school, I went to Bryant University in Smithfield, Rhode Island. And again, in the summers, I would come home and I would work alongside our controller every summer. And then right after graduation, I started full time. And I believe my title was assistant to the controller or something to that extent. And I didn't get any time off of, you know, after graduating. The very next day, I had to come back and run the office because our controller needed a vacation. So,
which is understandable, I think.
Yeah.
In any family-owned business that I talk to, I mean, it's in most cases a very lean organization.
Right. Exactly.
So in addition, so you take this time, you kind of grow up in it. Do you find your children and your nieces and nephews are having a similar lifestyle, or has it changed or evolved?
I think for my children, I would say it's slightly different. And maybe it could be because I'm trying to guard them and protect them from this. Family business, it's any business is stress. It has its stresses. It has its, you know, celebrations as well. They go to our ice cream stands a lot. We own and operate 5 ice cream stands. So they're always going to the different ice cream stands on the weekends with my husband and I. We put them to work, though. I mean, spring cleanup, fall cleanup. They're shoveling, they're laying down the mulch with us. So I guess yes, but it's just slightly different. Whereas my niece and nephews, you know, they go on special deliveries with my brother that runs our sales. So So yes, they're involved. It's just, I would say, different. We have a little more downtime. We really make sure we try to separate the family business from, you know, the kids' lives.
I'm guessing that some of our listeners may have just caught something that you said, maybe in the same vein that I caught it. Mm. So you're the CEO of the company,
yes,
and you're talking about laying mulch out at some of your stands.
Right. So, good exercise.
I'm guessing that you're not sitting in an office all day long, it sounds.
No. We say this often, you do whatever it takes for a family business, and we're not big on titles. Yes, my title is CEO, but at the end of the day, whatever it takes, it needs to be done, whether that's cleaning a bathroom, whether that's picking up trash, jumping into production if needed, which they would all say, please no. When I go down there, they say things break. So
if I went down there, there'd be extra caramel niblets in all of the things. Right. This does not meet our standard, Connie. Right. I'll say, but it does meet my standard.
Right. Yeah.
So a little bit of everything, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Every day is completely different, and it could change on a given morning. You know, it's we all support one another in our roles, but at the end of the day, you do whatever it takes for the success of the family, the brand. And when I say family, I don't just mean those with the last name. I mean our extended family, everyone that, you know, puts all the effort and their hours in being away from their families to make sure that Gifford succeeds.
Now, you mentioned both your brother and your sister, mm-hmm. Samantha and JC. Yes. Mm-hmm. What roles do they play in the organization generally?
Yes. So my brother, JC, his title is VP of Sales. So he's a road warrior. He's on the road all the time. And then my sister, Samantha, is our marketing manager. She graduated from Husson University.
Very nice. So also local, kind of, and knowing... I think knowing the market is
absolutely
so important.
Right. And again, just as myself, they did not just graduate and land in those roles. My brother, he worked in production throughout, you know, his teenage years, and he ran our shipping department. He ran sales in Maine, and then he's running our sales department. My sister, she actually worked in sales for quite a while because we felt that would be very important with her marketing background to understand the sales end of the business before she went into that marketing role.
Now, what's the geographic scope of Gifford's? Like, what market do you cover generally? Is it purely New England, or are you moving? Are you moving slowly outside of the New England market?
Yeah, we're New England, New York, New Jersey, Mid Atlantic. We acquired another business in 2012 that was in that Mid Atlantic market, and then we're in a chain called Wahlburgers, the chain. So they keep opening up burger shops everywhere. So they're kind of taking us everywhere with them. So Florida, we also are in a chain called Carmine's, which they have a location, I believe it's at Caesar's Palace in Vegas. So apparently we're in Vegas also. So we're popping up in different locations, but we really are putting a focus on New England. There's still so many people, even in Maine, that we feel don't know about Gifford's and don't know that we're a family business. And, you know, so we feel like there's more work to be done with spreading ice cream cheer.
I like that. I like that a lot. I'm Tawny Alvarez, and you're listening to HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBRadio.com. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
It's 3 p.m., and you just ran out of ink. You have a report due end of day, which is 2 hours from now. You can't push the deadline because end of day means end of today, not end of tomorrow day. What now? Go to your local Staples store. Staples now has an even bigger selection of HP ink and toner. In store, in stock, and at low prices every day. So you can get your ink fast for less. End of story.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
We're back, and you're listening to HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill. Today, our guest is Lindsay Skilling from Giffords Ice Cream, and we're talking about what it's like to operate and work in a family-owned business. Lindsay, earlier today, you mentioned kind of the family, and you said it, and for people who aren't in the room, which is very limited, there was a gesture. And I think that one of the really cool things about Giffords is when you talk about family, you truly do mean it in a very holistic fashion, because you, in fact, don't call your workforce employees,
correct.
Do you?
Correct. Absolutely not. They are a part of our family. Some of them have been there for 42, 43 years, and we have kind of grown up and evolved together. And you know, if someone's going through a tough time or phase in their life, we're all there to support them. If they're, you know, having a new baby on the way, we're celebrating and having baby showers and whatnot. So truly, it is a family atmosphere, and we're there for each other at the end of the day.
Approximately how many employees do you have? Both. Let's just focus on in the production type area, or then also with the stands.
Okay.
What's the difference there?
Yeah, so full-time, we have about the equivalent of 42 people. And then when our five family-owned ice cream stands are opened, it's closer to 120 people.
So it's a pretty big team, or a pretty big family.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So let's talk, and I think you've hinted at some of them, but what are some of the benefits of leading a family-owned business?
I think that what makes a family-owned business unique is the fact that you get to see each other all the time. And I know that sounds bizarre, but I sometimes think if we weren't working in a family business and we would be doing whatever else that might be, how often would we get the chance to see each other? Because on the weekends, life gets busy. And when you have kids, they're involved in sports and whatnot. So oftentimes you don't see your family on the weekends. So I think it's unique. You get to see each other all the time. Sometimes it makes, you know, Thanksgiving dinners interesting because you can't really turn it off. But
I guess that leads to the challenges. I mean, you're talking about being able to turn it on or turn it off. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about maybe some of the challenges that are involved in not just being a part of a family-owned business, but leading a family-owned business.
I say turning it off. And it's hard to turn it off when this is, you know, your last name is on this package that and these signs, and you want to continue to make people proud of this brand and your family. And, you know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to make sure that we are successful family-owned business for our family and their families, and you know, that our sixth generation, and make our parents and grandparents proud to carry on, you know, this family tradition. So it's hard to turn it off. We were at my sister's wedding a couple of years ago, and my brother and I and sister, we're at the head table, and it's the reception, and we just got news that we got into a chain that we have been wanting to get into, and we're talking about it at the head table, and finally my sister's like, wait, what's going on? This is my wedding. We can't be talking about the family business right now. And you just have to kind of, it just takes somebody to step forward and say, okay, you know, we're at the Thanksgiving table. And usually my mom is a good buffer and our spouses to say, all right, that's enough of this. Let's, you know, let's focus on just family, not family business today.
I mean, in that same vein, when you talk about the fact that this is, I mean, your name is connected to the brand. I don't want to say interchangeable, but very directly connected. It's not like right. the ice cream is called Roberto's right. ice cream, right? Right? Mm-hmm. It's Giffords.
Exactly.
From at a time in which our culture and our society is... you know, instantaneous news and mm-hmm. the cycle of how quickly information is shared, does that make it more difficult to have a private life that generally mm-hmm. isn't going to adversely or maybe positively affect the business?
Yeah, I think the way the world operates now, we could say, through, you know, such things as social media channels, it makes it a lot easier to share the positive things about a brand that you like, but it also makes it much more convenient to, you know, in the middle of the night, share things that might not be so positive and sometimes can be hurtful. because, again, it's hard not to take criticism or... comments about your family business, it's hard not to take it to heart, because at the end of the day, you just want to succeed for everyone, and you want your customers to really be passionate about your brand as well and be proud of what you're producing and they're eating. So that's been different as far as social media goes. And personally, I don't have social media. I number one, I don't have time for social media. When I say that, most people kind of look at me like I have 20 heads cross-eyed, because they don't understand. I just don't have the time for it. I have two young kids and the family business, and yeah, I keep up with those that I need to communicate with by calling them.
That sounds about right. For listeners who are just joining us, we are talking today to Lindsay Skilling, the CEO of Giffords Ice Cream, and we're talking about what it's like to operate and work in a family-owned business. And Lindsay, you operate an organization that is in its fifth generation of being yes. family-owned. And I think a lot of people in their mind say to themselves, yeah, she says that the kids don't have to get into the business, or her nieces and nephews don't have to get into the business. Mm-hmm. How realistic is that? And I think, you know, it's debatable. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. None of yeah. us have a magic ball that we're right. going to be able to tell the future. And we can see... even locally, a number of situations or times in which, you know, family-owned businesses are no longer family-owned.
Right.
Is there a discussion generally, and I don't just mm-hmm. mean at the current moment, but in the organization, about what succession planning looks like, and yes. and understanding the fact that if the next generation isn't interested in this, mm-hmm. that's okay. But what does it look like?
Yes, we are a part of an organization, and we have been for a number of years now, called the Institute for Family-Owned Business, and they do a really good job of providing seminars and programs that help in leading that succession planning discussion. And when we first became a part of the organization a handful of years ago, there was a 2-day program on succession planning. And you know, that really helped our family with providing the tools and consultants that were needed to really begin those discussions in a more, you know, formal way, if you will. Family businesses, you know, can
absolutely
pass each other in the hallway and say, oh, let's do this. But it helped us in a more formal fashion kind of discuss, okay, what is it going to look like going into the fifth generation, as well as, okay, the kids in the sixth generation are young, but what might that look like if they're interested? And again, just because they're a part of the family would only, again, get their foot in the door. It, you know, it doesn't mean that they're just given a key.
At the same time, I mean, you talked about your movement into the CEO position some, and there clearly was a period of time in which you overlapped with your uncle and with your father. Mm-hmm. Tell me what that was like from your experience in succeeding a generation before you, and whether or not that caused any rifts or generally a disagreement about the direction that you saw the company heading versus the direction they saw it heading.
Yeah. So I remember when you first asked that question, I remember there was a period of time when in the winters, my uncle would be away in Florida for the winters, and my dad wouldn't be in the office as much. And then they would come back in the summer. And everything, I felt like everything that I had worked on and built over that course of that winter with, okay, you know, I think I'm getting somewhere, you know, these folks are starting to come to me to help them with decision-making processes and whatnot. And then all of a sudden I'm noticing, you know, my uncle's back in the office, or my dad, and they start going to them. And then I'm hearing from my dad and uncle, okay, so I had this conversation with so-and-so, and I'm like, oh boy, this is not going to work. So they really, my father and uncle did a very good job of being respectful and mindful. And if folks did come to them, they would say, okay, let's tag Lindsay in on this so that I would be looped in. And then just over time, it just kind of became natural, whether my father and uncle were in the office or not. So that was an interesting challenge. It was a challenge. It was frustrating at times. But as far as your question on the direction of the future of the company that my father and, you know, uncle had versus my generation, in any rifts, folks ask us that all the time. If, you know, do you guys ever fight or argue, or, you know, I think they're asking, is there drama? And
well, we know there's always drama in a family.
Right.
So I would never ask, is there drama? It's really, I guess, how much does that drama affect the business operation?
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, when we're in a meeting, we don't leave the meeting until we might not all completely 100% agree, but at the end of the day, we make the decision that's in the best interest of the business. So when we leave that door, okay, we're done with this conversation, we're moving on, we're moving in a direction, and we're in agreement. So
I think something else that's kind of popping into my mind that I would suspect some listeners are also thinking, a difference between working day in and day out with siblings or with parents versus working day in and day out with a spouse or a partner.
Right.
Do you have situations in the organization, and I'm going to use the term family in the much broader sense as to all of your employees, where you have that coupling relationship where everyone's at work together?
Yes. Family, my father and uncle both had my mom and my aunt, because again, you do whatever it takes to grow the business, and it was all hands on deck at that time. And then over the years, we have brothers, we have cousins, we have, you know, it's a family, it really is a family business. And we have, we've had spouses, they just work in different departments of the business. And, you know, I think that at times that's probably challenging for them, because, you know, not always can people be on the same page. And, you know, coming to work and trying to, okay, we're at work now. We need to put our professional hats on. I'm sure it can be challenging for them. But again, they work in different departments. They don't report to one another. So
I think it's interesting, too, because you talk about one of the benefits of the family-owned business is getting to spend that time together that mm-hmm. you otherwise may not be able to spend together, which for, you know, I think a lot of couples, they're like, okay, we see each other at home. We see each other at work.
Right.
Sometimes we just need a break.
Right.
And I think that that's one of the interesting differences in family-owned businesses is those different dynamics that are generally in play.
Absolutely.
For those of you who are just tuning in, unfortunately, we're going to take a break, but we're talking today to Lindsay Skilling, CEO of Giffords Ice Cream. This is HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We're going to be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Life's never perfect, but as realtors, we know living it in the perfect place can make a big difference.
Imagine
hiding from your screeching children in that spacious walk-in closet, watching the neighbor's dog poop on the freshly sodded grass you negotiated during closing, dropping your cell phone in the toilet of the spa-like five-piece bathroom again. So get the perfect place to house all of life's imperfections. Get Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
We're back. You're listening to HR Power Hour, and our guest today is Lindsay Skilling, CEO from Giffords Ice Cream. We're talking about what it's like to operate and work in a family-owned business, and we've spent a great deal of time kind of talking about Lindsay's progression from mailroom and assistant to the controller and kind of just being an all-hands-on-deck person to becoming the CEO. And might I add, if you're just tuning in, I mean, a CEO who also digs and who spreads mulch out in the spring, an all hands on deck kind of attitude. But the thing about that attitude that I always find interesting is that type of management style doesn't just appear in mm-hmm. most people. I'd love to talk a little bit about some of the mentors or even the sponsors that mm-hmm. you've had that you give credit to for helping you get to this position.
Yeah. I mean, other than the family and all of their, you know, support and the roles that they play. So from outside support, we are part of the Institute for Family Owned Business. And that, I mean, I can't say enough how much that has helped me personally as well as our business. Because it's not just about attending programs or, you know, sitting on their board. It's the network. It's the people that you meet. I mean, I met you through this organization.
Absolutely.
And it's just become a wonderful, I guess, kind of a phone book, if you will, of resources. You know, I have made so many lifelong friends and people that I have met. I can pick up the phone and call them with, have you ever dealt with this at your family business? And all of us think that our situations are unique, but really at the end of the day, there's so many other family businesses that have gone through a similar situation, and they can give you guidance as to how they might have handled it. But also, you know, we work with an accounting firm that they specialize in dairy manufacturing.
Okay.
So they can provide us with benchmark information and just different resources within the dairy and the ice cream manufacturing industry across, you know, across the United States. So that's been wonderful.
I think that's a really interesting point, too, that you bring up. And I think some people, I don't want to say fail to recognize, but maybe don't realize. I mean, you're operating a manufacturing. Mm. You have a manufacturing arm. You also have a retail arm.
Correct.
Do you look at yourself kind of from the viewpoint of we are manufacturers first and foremost, or we're a family-owned business first and foremost? Or do you view yourself under a lens that maybe I'm not mentioning?
I always view us under the family-owned business lens. At the end of the day, yes, we're a manufacturer, and yes, we're a retailer, but we're a family-owned business, and I'm extremely proud of that, and I feel like it adds to the uniqueness of, you know, a small town in Maine, you know, an ice cream manufacturer from Skowhegan, Maine. So it depends on, I guess, the day and the hat, you know, if we're more focused on manufacturing or, you know, focused on our ice cream stands, but a family business is how I view us.
So we know that through college and high school, mm-hmm. you had and looked into other paths, which was mm-hmm. something that your parents had kind of focused on.
Right.
Check other paths, and make sure this is what you want. I mean, during that course of time, did you have mentors or sponsors who were saying, don't get into the family business because it's just going to be a headache in the long run? Or was it always something that was supported by kind of the other people in your life?
Yeah. I guess I never thought I would not work for the family-owned business. I used to play Giffords. As a child, my dad would bring home old order sheets and whatnot, and my friends would come over, and what were we playing? Giffords, taking orders and whatnot on the Gifford sheets.
So you're not scooping ice cream, you're taking no. orders.
Oh, I'm so, if you ask anyone at Giffords, they would laugh right now. I'm not a good ice cream scooper. I can eat ice cream all day long. However, the scooping of the ice cream, I either don't put it on the cone correctly, and so the customer would, you know, go to eat their ice cream and fall off the cone, or I put it on the cone too hard and the cone just crumbles. So, yeah, that didn't run in my genes.
I think this is the most amazing story, in part because I can just imagine like that ideal amount of pressure. I put myself through law school scooping ice cream and doing those type of things. So, like, knowing like the exact pressure that it all has to be evenly dispersed mm-hmm. on the cone, what it's like to scoop a large.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I give all of our family members that work at our stand so much credit, because I clam up when I see like a line forming, especially, you know, they would throw me into the stands when it was opening night and it was free cone night. I would see that line and I would get so stressed. It's almost the most stressed in work that I could get, which might sound bizarre, but I'm like, oh my gosh, these folks are depending on me to be fast, and I'm going to crush their ice cream cone or their ice cream is going to fall on the ground. Yeah.
I love it. Oh my gosh. That's so great. So, I mean, so in your mind, this was always the path. And it's interesting because I think when people think of ice cream, the first thing they're not first thinking of like order forms and playing order forms as a child, but instead, like, where are my ice cream scoops to play Giffords?
Right. Yeah. And also I think that people also ask, you know, did you hope that one day you would be the CEO of the company? That didn't that never really crossed my mind, to be honest. My uncle and father weren't big, again, they weren't big on titles. So they always had the do whatever it takes mentality. And that's what we grew up around. And, you know, we just wanted to, as long as they would have us a part of the family business, we trusted that they would put us in the roles that we could handle and where they felt, you know, it was in the best interest of the family business.
I think that leads to a really interesting kind of question that I think's on my mind and probably on listeners' minds. Are you the first female CEO of Giffords?
Yes.
Have you found that to be challenging in any sense as a smaller Central Maine organization to be in a leadership role with a workforce that has been with the organization in many cases since you were a child?
Yeah, exactly. I think I will give my father and uncle a lot of credit because they're number one, they're very trusting and they're not micromanagers. They give you enough, or they gave us enough rope, you know, to, you know, make our own decisions. But I think one of the first challenges that I encountered, it was more of a kind of a personal challenge, but it directly affected the family business, was when I was pregnant with my daughter. At that time, I was running the sales and marketing for the business while also wearing a general manager hat for the business. And I kind of sat my father and uncle down and I said, okay, guys, I'm pregnant. And they're like, yes, we know that, Lindsay. I'm like, okay, well, what are we going to do? Because I can't do it all. I want to make sure that I have dinner every night with my family. And they were great. They said, well, yeah, you live in Southern Maine. You're an hour and a half away, but, you know, we trust you. You have a home office. You've been doing the sales end of the business, and you're just going to, you know, do whatever it takes. We know that. We trust you. Do what makes sense. You tell us what your schedule is going to be, which at that point, I kind of wanted them to give me some guidance. You know, I was going to be a first-time mom. I'm like, okay, you guys tell me. But that was something different for our company as a whole because I was the first, I would say I would be the first female that was pregnant and, you know, took a maternity leave, a working maternity leave, but family business. <Yeah. laughs> So that was different. You know, I didn't get any, you know, bad feedback from anyone, a part of the family about that. It was just, again, it was just a change. It was a transition and it was different.
And it's interesting to hear as well that your father and your uncle, when you said, hey, I'm pregnant, and they're like, well, yeah, we do know that, kind of didn't see it as a hindrance or to them in their mind, it hadn't changed anything. And they didn't see you as, okay, you're out or you're not going to be able to perform X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when I was running the sales end of the business before I got pregnant, I remember sitting at board meetings. And I remember, you know, it's me as a female and all males, my father and uncle included, and trying to explain the challenges that I was facing. You know, I was in my mid-20s and I was meeting with men that were my father and uncle's age who I wanted to make sure that they were really listening to what I was saying and, you know, respecting what I was saying. And that came over time, but it was really a vulnerable place, I guess. It was the first time that I felt very insecure in that role. And that took time to overcome and to recognize it doesn't matter if you're a female or a male, if they are the right business partner for your family business, then you'll know. And at the end of the day, they're going to respect you and they're going to, you know, overcome that. They're not meeting with your dad and uncle anymore. They're meeting with the next generation.
Absolutely. And I think with that, I mean, this is a good time for us to take a break. But I think that's a really powerful kind of topic and mindset generally. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs and ME.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Today's economic environment presents many challenges. It seems as though it's harder than ever to navigate the investment landscape to seek out adequate return and manage risk at the same time. ClearPoint Financial is a financial advocate for those who need assistance making complex decisions about how to manage their wealth. They inspire their clients to make informed decisions through education, communication, and service that exceeds expectation. Call Michael Toole at ClearPoint Financial, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay long sleeve tees are just $29.99 each when you buy two or more.
We're back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and our guest today is Lindsay Skilling, CEO of Giffords Ice Cream. We've spent a good portion of the program talking about what it's like to run a family-owned business, and not just a family-owned business, but a family-owned business in the ice cream business, so manufacturing generally. During the course of the program, we've talked a lot about kind of how important it is and how much you enjoy having that time with family members, and we've talked a little bit about how the conversations stream in to Thanksgiving or weddings or those type of things. I would love to find out whether or not you guys have very specifically set boundaries within your personal lives to help the company succeed, and not just to help the company succeed, but also to protect relationships that you guys have.
I would say, I wouldn't call it boundaries that we have set. It's just... I would say that over the past, you know, several years, we have become a lot better about respecting one another, you know, outside of work, if you will. And I think really what helped us with that is when the next generation was coming along and we started having kids, because kids distract you. And it's been a wonderful distraction for all of us, I think, to help us turn it off. But as far as, you know, boundaries go, we do have a kind of, we'll call it a family council. So if there's anything major that's going on that directly impacts, you know, the family as far as the last name, you know, we'll call an impromptu kind of family meeting, if you will, and just, you know, talk through what's going on, whether it's a family member that's leaving the business, which has happened, or, you know, on their own terms or not. We have meetings to just kind of talk through that, to process it internally together before...
Before it gets out there and everyone hears about it.
Right, exactly. Just you know, to kind of digest it a little.
Does sometimes that become more difficult because you have something that in most cases is going to be emotionally draining or difficult generally just from a personal perspective, mm-hmm. but then to have to change the cap that you're wearing and also look at it from a business owner's perspective?
Yeah, it's... I oftentimes will say to my husband, "Ooh, this was an emotionally, mentally draining kind of day." And that's what the treadmill's for. you know, it's at the end of the day, whatever is in the best interest of the company. And that personally might not be in our personal best interest. However, at the end of the day, what is going to make the company most successful, and who's going to be a part of that family, overall family, that is going to help us to get to that, you know, to bring us to the next level, to help us succeed and carry on this company, you know, into the next generation.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate talking about ice cream because I could talk about ice cream for hours, but also to get a better sense of Giffords, what it's like to own and run a family-owned business, and just generally the dynamics between family and business. So thank you so much for opening up both about the business and about the family dynamics and aspects of it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I had a lot of fun.
You've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com.
And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Why do we do what we do? Hi, I'm Ben Ford from Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group with your tip of the week. Actually, this is not a tip at all, more of a moment to reflect on your work. Set aside the paperwork, the reporting, and the endless meetings, and think about the work you actually do. You are responsible for creating a structure that allows people to hit their maximum potential. These are not just workers, these are your brothers and sisters. These are real people with ambitions and, yes, even flaws. For many people, this might be their first job, and so you are in a position to institute good habits that will affect them for the rest of their lives. For others, it might be their last job, and you are in a position to ensure that knowledge and experience is passed down to the next generation. So today, take a break from thinking about the company, protecting the company, or managing the payroll line, or processing an FMLA request, and take a moment to look at the faces of the people that you serve. Okay, now get back to work. Got a deep insight into the practice of human resources? Call Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.